join us, won't you, as we say our final goodbyes to the X-Men film universe before it is all absorbed into the MCU. Yes, this is the podcast for the final Fox X-Men film, The New Mutants, the film that never was ever going to come out until it finally did. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us.
This is the Bennett Brothers podcast, by the way.
That is what we are. We are the Bennett Brothers podcast. We're going to talk about this film as best as we can. It has been some time since Jerry and I have watched the movie. I will preface it by saying that. So we're going to do our best to talk about it. We just got other things came in the way. Life came in the way. So we weren't able to get to this as soon as we would have liked.
I saw this movie at the end of August, beginning of September.
And I saw it this early December.
I believe there was mutants in this movie. Some of them may have been new ones.
I was under the impression these were nude mutants, but I
you know,
totally
what?
Misheard
Don't
it.
Go look that up on Google, because you're going to show up on a Pornhub site or something. It's not going to be good.
So, you know, it's so interesting because we've talked about a ton of movies, and we've talked about good movies and
enough
bad
to do
movies
a podcast.
And we're doing this one, and I know you have we'll get into, why do you want to do this podcast, Jerry? Because I know you have a special connection to the New Mutants.
Well, because since we started our podcast 17 years ago, we've been doing all of the DC and Marvel-based films, including the X-Men films that have come out since then. We even did we do Amazing Spider-Man 2? Which was a Sony film,
I think. Not with Electro.
I don't know. I know we talked about the first Spider-Man. I know we did. It was right at the beginning. But anyways, we've crossed all, and I know in the X-Men universe we've done Logan, we've done X-Men Apocalypse, we did Days of Future Past,
we did Legion,
we did The Wolverine. So we've done at least,
we did the.
We've done at least five of these things.
What was the X-Men TV show that we did?
The Gifted.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Aye.
You know that was out for 2 years? So, we are going to talk about The New Mutants. This was a film that has a wild, crazy history. We're not going to... There's so much. It's out there. You know, this film was originally supposed to come out, and it entered pre-production in 2017, April. So, almost 4 years ago. Three and three quarter years ago, and had multiple different release dates, was supposed to have reshoots, was supposed to add characters, all sorts of crazy stuff was supposed to happen with this film. And because of what happened with Fox, with X-Men Apocalypse not doing well, not even getting into Dark Phoenix, but Dark Phoenix, which was supposed to be two films, this whole mess that is the continuity of the X-Men universe, and it is a mess. The New Mutants film kind of fell to the wayside. Everybody speculated that, well, just going to go to Disney Plus, which was never going to happen, by the way, because this was still under contract. Fox has contracts out that when movies get released to the theaters, then they go to wherever they were already pre-assigned, whoever bought the rights for streaming. And this one, I'm not sure if it was HBO Max or what, but it's going to eventually live there. But not all the films that Disney owns through Fox are even on Disney Plus yet because of all of these pre-existing contracts. So they wanted to get some money for it. We can talk about what money they did get for it later. Shockingly, it was the only film I saw at the theater since the pandemic started. Right before that, I remember seeing Harley Quinn, and that might have been the other one. So,
you mean Birds of Prey?
Yes, I do. Well, Harley Quinn and the Immaculate Conception of Birds of Prey, whatever that was called. But yeah, but I mean, we went and saw this at a theater when we were the only two people in the theater. So this film has, again, a crazy history. We can talk about some Easter eggs. We can talk about the actual film itself, which we probably should, and some of the crossovers. And I want to get your opinion on it. Well, first off, I have a huge history with this because when I started reading comics back in 1983, I mean, I had a handful of books when I was a kid, little kid, picking them up.
1983, yes.
In 1983, I started with Secret War, which was incredible, and then I got into the X-Men. So I got Uncanny X-Men 182, 183. I know you write it down. But also at that same time, I discovered what these were.
By the way, it's for sale if anyone wants to buy it.
It's in good shape. It's really good stuff. John Romita Jr., Chris Claremont drawing. You know what I'm talking about. So it was so good. And I was like, what is this X-Men stuff? Because I barely knew about it other than when they showed up on The Amazing Friends, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, with Wolverine going, "Hiya, doll. I have a piece of fruit." You know, it's just crazy. Wolverine with an Australian accent. And so I discovered that, and I said, well, what else is out there? Because I knew all Captain America, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, all this stuff, and I'm like, this X-Men's great. And I'm like, well, there's this other book called New Mutants, which is out. It was out with issue 18 was out, and I bought it right then and there, because comics back then were 60 cents or 65 cents. It was insane. You know, I'd get on my push scooter, like from Back to the Future, and I'd run down the street with I'd run down the street with a stick and a hoop, you know, because that's how we would get there somewhere.
And, oh, the old stick and a hoop.
That's fantastic. And this issue was the first one run drawn by an artist called Bill Sienkiewicz, which is this incredible artist that if you see it back then, you go like, this is his artwork looks, you know, futuristic today. It's so different. He was phenomenal. So the fact that this first issue comes up, and it was basically 18 issues. I just jumped in the latest issue, and it was the beginning. This was the story. It was the Demon Bear story. So when I say I was excited for this movie, even though you're like, do I want it to succeed? Because quite honestly, I want Marvel to absorb it all, which, you know, we all know it did. I'm like, this was the story that was one of the first stories that ever got me into comics. And it was a phenomenal story. I've read it several times, and it's just beautiful to look at. And so I have a lot of affinity for it, obviously, a long way of getting there. So I don't know how much that has affected my opinion of this film. I do know that when I went and saw it at the theater, I went in with low expectations, but very excited for it. And my opinion of it afterwards was like, hey, that's not bad. That was not bad. Now, time has passed enough that I've been able to look at stuff and go like, well, maybe there are more bad than I thought, but there was enough in this when I saw it at the theater that I was like, that wasn't bad. My wife Debbie, she's like, oh, that was a really good film. She didn't give it, you know, like, who cares if, oh, so that's Colossus' sister. Whoopity frickin-doo, she cares, you know, none of that stuff. So now, I've had options to watch it since then, and I have yet to do it. So that kind of says something like, well, maybe I don't like it that much as I thought I do. It's not as bad as Aquaman, where I fell asleep in it, but
Aquaman was not bad. Aquaman's better than this movie.
I fell asleep in it. So this film, I it's not a perfect film. It's got flaws, but I think for what it is, and there's a lot of flaws, and we'll probably pick at it, but there was a lot of good in this film too that I thought like, okay, but I also know that I'm coming from a position of I wanted this to be awesome because I have such affinity and nostalgia for it. Joel, what did you think of this film in general?
So again, I want these films to be good. I don't want to waste my time watching something bad. And when things are good, I love when things are good. And when things are
satisfying. He's doing a dance.
I'm doing a dance because I think like you, I'm in agreement with this. Maybe I liked it a little bit less than you. I don't know. It was okay. It's forgettable. In 3 years, I'm gonna be like, New Mutants, what was that? You know, it's gonna be one of those movies that's gonna just disappear from my mind, even though I've invested time in it.
And it seems like a film that didn't spend a lot of money.
It was okay. It could have been great because you first of all, you're working with a pretty spectacular cast. I think the cast is, you know, a lot of young people who are big names, and you've seen them in a bunch of stuff now, and you're like, oh, I really like all these actors.
You know, except three of the people in this, and you only know two of their names.
There's only like five people in this, so it's not a huge for me to say that. Yeah, and that, well, that's the problem. I think that's one of the faults of this movie is your main actor is probably the weakest part of this movie. Maybe it's her character, I don't know, but it was one of those things like I didn't care for the
Blue
main,
Hunt, yes. Dana Moonstar's actress.
I think the weakest part of this. But everyone else I thought was dynamic. I thought they came across. I wanted to follow their characters.
And Danny Moonstar is a character who is the leader of the team or shares the leader. That is a character who eventually gets different powers because the powers are like, how do you do this issue upon issue of having this character's powers not be an action thing? So eventually, I'm just saying, eventually in the comic books, she becomes one of the Valkyrie from Asgard. And she has the power, and then she's able to also take her power, her fear-inducing power, and basically turns it into a bow and arrow effect, like Hank from the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, where she can shoot energy blasts. And they like, that's who she becomes. And they almost abandon her idea of like being able to mess with people's stuff, because it was always a nebulous power to begin with.
Yeah, it is very nebulous, and I think it is a detriment to this film. You know, I mean, I don't know how they handle it in the comics, but it seems like it's such a bizarre, it feels like a 90s kind of movie. Like, we're going to fight a big Visionary's bear. You know, like that's what we're going to fight. Even though the special effects are pretty fantastic. The special effects in this movie over in general are awesome, I thought. I thought Dr. Reyes, like I said, like the cast I thought was really solid, really solid. You know, even though Blue Hunt playing Danny Moonstar, I just think she was out of her depth with the other actors and the other characters. But that being said, this film could have been and should have been much better, and I think they originally wanted to make it much better. I think they wanted to do a horror film set in a hospital. And if the main story is going to be about fear and someone that's their mutant power, then it should be a scary movie. Like, that makes sense. I don't know. Like, just saying that out loud, I'm like, yeah, that's a movie that makes sense. But they didn't do that. They tried. They did a little bit, but like they were apparently the director Josh Boone,
Who had all did came to prominence when he did the movie The Fault in Our Stars, which I never saw.
He just did The Stand on CBS, which didn't get great reviews either. But he says he got neutered. So I gotta side with him on that because this movie is a little all over the place in the sense that it looks like a little too many people got their hands involved in this.
Well, there's
going to
be
make something good.
Let's have a conversation a little bit later into this where we're going to talk about what happened here. Why is this, you know, like, because there's I have some stuff listed here that I want to kind of ask these questions that I kind of remind her, like, oh yeah, wait, what? You know, wait, what?
When I say five, there's actually six main, like, counting Dr. Reyes, there's actually like six main characters. And I like that in the movie. This is about six people.
Yes, the movie stars Macy Williams as Rain Sinclair, right, who is the werewolf, and also Macy Williams is from
weird character.
Yeah, and in the comics she spends a lot of time as a cross between where she's human but she's got werewolf features, which works on a drawing sometimes and doesn't always work when you're seeing it like this. But I think it's okay. Macy Williams is obviously famous for the
Game of
Thrones. Yes, Anna Taylor-Joy, who plays Ileana Rasputin, who is the younger sister of Colossus, Peter Rasputin in the comics. And also, I will say, one of my all-time favorite comic book characters.
Character is awesome.
Her character
didn't make any, like, her powers
well,
were so
no,
out
her,
there
her
that
powers
I,
are awesome, and also, I mean, the, now, the way she was being a protagonist, or, I'm sorry, an antagonist to Danny was a little extreme, and that's not necessarily, and she kind of switches towards the end, you kind of see who she really is. I was kind of hoping that they were going to say, like, she was doing things for a reason, and never really paid out that way. I was like, oh, she's being a total jerk to her because she's trying to antagonize her because she's, and I was like, you know, there was a lot
teen
of points. There was parts of this movie where, like, well, clearly because her powers are teleportation, meaning she can leave anytime she wants to.
Well, they have
until
the force field. Force field that says
she goes
she
to another. She goes to another realm.
Another realm, yeah.
Limbo, and so, you know, that I kept thinking, well, clearly she's working with somebody with Xavier. We're going to find out. And like when that didn't pan out, I was like, well, that's lame. But anyway, Anna Taylor-Joy plays this. She's obviously been in Split. And she has been in the movie before Split. I've come to prominence right now for The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. And she's just phenomenal actress. And again, she did the character. I was very happy. I was like, if you're going to pull anybody from this movie into the Marvel Universe, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better version of her. We'll see. We also have Charlie Heaton, who played Sam Guthrie Cannonball. Charlie Heaton is known from Stranger Things. Phenomenal. Alicia Bragg plays Dr. Reyes.
Braga,
yeah. And she was also in Predators, and she's been in some films. But she was, Dr. Celia Reyes is actually a good guy X-Men character. Not in this movie, but they just kind of grabbed her name and said, we're going to make you a bad guy. The aforementioned Blue Hunt plays Daniel Moonstar, and Henry Zaga plays Robert DaCosta, which is Sunspot, which is a character we did see in Days of Future Past, as you remember. He was in the future scene. He's the one who can turn fiery and everything. A different actor played him in that movie, though.
Dumb.
What? The character?
The different actor played him.
Well, it was just a different... Yeah, Colossus is played, you know, in the X-Men movies, and he's different in Deadpool. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it, too, if they're rebooting or they're doing something different.
Yeah, in the comic books lately, the Cannonball and Sunspot have both been actually Avengers. I love when they do that in the books.
What's Cannonball's power?
He can fly, and when he's going full speed, he's basically invulnerable. He can blast through something like a cannonball. So once he's in motion,
but he hurts himself though.
I don't know what was going on with that. He does that. That was not from the books at all. He can
hurts
just
himself
he can fly
on purpose.
Yeah, that was all weird. I don't know what was going on there. So yeah, this, and like I said, the behind the scenes of this being released, being Fox being owned by Disney, purchased by Disney, all of that was a mess behind the scenes.
I think you forgot to mention the biggest actor in the movie. The voice of the smiling man was Marilyn Manson. So
okay, I did not know that.
I didn't know that until just this moment. I was going through the cast list.
I also liked seeing Lockheed the dragon, although I don't understand, was he a stuffed animal or did she just grab him from limbo when he showed up? I don't know what was going on there. And obviously, when he, at the end, when he was full character, I was like, well, that's exactly who he's supposed to be. That's but actually.
Doesn't that also come, like Kitty Pryde has something to do with that?
She was the one. He's actually a from space character. The character's been around since 82, 81. Yes, it was Kitty Pryde. But see, Kitty Pryde's best friend at Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters is Ileana Rasputin. So they basically are both connected with them. Here's a little bit about Ileana, because, again, I love the character. Is actually, she's Colossus's younger sister. And in the comics, she comes and visits. She's like 6 years old. And in one of the issues, in like the 160s or whatever, the demon Belesco pulls her into limbo. She does. I don't know if she has the powers. I can't really remember. She has the power of teleportation at this point because that is her mutant power. She gets pulled into limbo and they pull her out and she's instantly, it's 7 years have gone by and she's like 14. And she's just spent 7 years as a demon. So she knows all of this magic in addition to having the teleportation power. And so there was a mini series where she eventually, you know, kills Belesco, although he's a demon, never stays dead. And she becomes the ruler of limbo. So this character who was a little kid is now all of a sudden a teenager going on to a teen adult. She's got the power of a teleportation, and she's also got, you know, she's got the power of magic and sorcery, and she's got this sword. This sword is her soul sword, which is she's always had it. It's basically a
does
manifestation
it connect to her
about
arm?
Her. Well, it comes off of it, but yes, it's part
of it.
She
has a full armor.
Yes, what happened with that was she got the sword from that realm, and then when she would get in fights, all of a sudden the armor would start appearing on her body, and so she has this really cool effect. Yes, she can let go of the sword, but the armor, it's all part of it, and that was really cool to see. It was,
that was
enough to me to, like, I loved that so much, again, for personal reasons, that it actually makes me love this film probably more than it deserves to.
Okay. So we know Macy's Williams' character's power, the werewolf.
Yes.
And then she had this traumatic childhood.
Yes. Where that,
we talked about Cannonball's power. Dr. Reyes' power was his ability to create shields.
Correct.
What was Roberto DaCosta's power?
He absorbs radiation from the sun, so he can actually shoot fire out.
He's
his
basically
sun's
human, Human Torch style.
Yeah, but he can't fly.
Weird.
And he's also a billionaire. In the comics, he's extremely rich, which is nice to have.
Yeah, it is nice. That's the superpower unto itself.
Yes, these are the quote-unquote original New Mutants. Ileana wasn't a New Mutant. She kind of came in after like a year, 10 to 12 issues, the original ones. And then there was another one called Karma. She had the power to basically inhabit people's minds and control them. There was another character called Magma. She can actually become fire, control fire, which is similar. The Sunspot. And then there was also an alien creature called Warlock, which was supposed to come in this movie in the reshoots, but never happened. Warlock's
well, I also heard, I also read that this was supposed to be a trilogy, the way Josh Boone set it up, and that Warlock was actually supposed to come in the second movie.
Yes.
They're supposed to fight aliens and then demons in the third movie.
That would make sense, going to Ileana's world. Yeah, that, again, there's just enough in this movie to make me go like, yes, even though it's not a solid film, a lot of problems with the storyline. Do you want to talk about any of the problems with the storyline that stand out for you?
To be honest, I don't recall the problems from the storyline. I recall the big ending fighting the bear to be silly yet cool at the same time. Like, it was like, okay, this is good looking, it's fun to see, and they're teaming up together, but I also remember going, well, this is pretty silly. You're fighting a gigantic ghost bear.
Well, some of the connections I can talk about here, because I'm just pulling through a website here and looking at what are both considered Easter eggs and problems, is obviously we find out that this is all being controlled by the Essex Corporation, which is a corporation that the villain Mr. Sinister is in control of, which we see hints of at the end of Days of Future Past, which was supposed to tie into Logan, and we see that character, but it's never really tied in really well. But that's supposedly the bad guy who's controlling the Doctor at this location. How it ties into the X-Men, we have no idea. Clearly it wasn't, you know, and you'd think that Colossus would want to know what's going on with his sister.
Well, they tie it in when they talk about it. They talk about the X-Men, like, becoming X-Men, learning to train to become X-Men. And
that's but we're
what
told
that's what they think they're doing there.
But they're not. Yeah, they're basically someplace else. So I'm here looking here. We have those smiley men. Mm-hmm. They were very creepy. Kind of looked like the characters from Buffy. What the heck were those guys called? The Slayer? Well, whatever they were. From the episode Hush.
Yes, they reminded me of them, but I also thought about I was also thinking about House on Haunted, The Haunting of Hill House, and the really tall, floating, creepy guy. I don't know if you remember that character that was on screen, and you're like, it's the creepiest thing I've seen on television in a long time. Yeah, that's what they reminded me of a little bit as well. And it was Marilyn Manson's voice.
Okay. Yeah, again, we have this weird tie-in to Logan, kind of, with the whole Transgene facility and children being tortured in the Flash and some of this tying into that. So there's enough there that you could go, I think this is supposed to be that, it's supposed to be this, but it's also enough that they can say, like, no, it's not. You're you know, I think they wanted, you know, say, yeah, maybe it ties in, but if we don't want to, it doesn't tie in. So some of the unanswered questions from this movie. Joel, what happened to Danny on the reservation? Was it just the demon bear?
I thought she killed everyone. It was her fault.
okay.
That she.
Why did the bear suddenly start attacking?
She didn't have control of her powers, and fear led her own fear led her to create the bear.
Well, she was sleeping, and then all of a sudden she gets woken up by her dad. So I guess you could say that her mutation was kicking in at that point.
Yeah. That was my understanding.
It's supposed to kick in at puberty, but. Everybody's a little different because, like, Nightcrawler had the appearance of mutation at birth. So, did Danny's father know she was a mutant?
I have no idea. Is that relevant?
No, I'm just asking. These are questions. Mm-hmm. Who were those smiley men?
They were someone's fear.
Yeah, but they were Ileana's fear. But who were they? She kind of sees them as a kid. Was that just a representation how she? From her childhood viewing, which, by the way, that's why we see her as a little kid early on, and this might be part of the fact that she spent so much time in limbo in between. So, but yeah, we don't know what those smiley men were, which is fine. Again, we come back here, I'm reading this, why couldn't Ileana teleport out of the hospital? And again, she totally could have.
Well, I say they bring the shields in. She could have. She was trapped in the shields in the one scene when great use of Dr. Ray's power, she's shrinking the shields and slowly going to crush them. I thought that was a great use
of it. It was good,
it.
Yes.
And she was in there. She could have teleported out, but I think that the shield stopped the teleportation.
Okay. So how was Dr. Ray's therapy supposed to work?
I don't think it was therapy. I think they were looking to get power, like get weapons. They want to use these powerful mutants as weapons.
Yeah. You know what it also felt like the problem was? How is this woman doing all of this? Is she sleeping? You know, what's going on in the rest of the facility? It felt like there should have been robots or something walking around controlling this a little bit more. It felt like, she would go like, that's it, everybody go to your rooms. Well, how are you going to make us go to our rooms? We've got powers, we can fight back. And they never did.
It's under the guise of being happy.
I guess.
Like, this is supposed to be a positive place for to help them with what they're doing. So they don't necessarily think it's bad, but there's something going on. There's something going on.
Yeah, and also, let me say, we don't really know when in the X-Men timeline this story is taking place. We don't really have a lot of...
He originally wanted it to take place during Apocalypse.
Which would place it in the 80s.
Yes.
And we don't really see cell phones in this at all, do we?
I don't remember there being.
Because that's usually the telltale timeline. You can see stuff. Because we don't know where Xavier is during this whole time.
Yeah, because it's... let me put what I had. Continue talking and I will bring it back.
Why didn't Danny use her powers on Dr. Reyes?
You're not supposed to ask me another question.
Oh.
What was the question?
Why doesn't Danny use her powers on Dr. Reyes? You know, because she's basically able to use them on everybody else, but she doesn't use them on her. I guess you can say her shields can block things like that?
Maybe. I don't know. Danny was... She's not in full control of her powers.
Yeah. Dr. Reyes is a weird character.
Dr. Reyes.
Because is she a villain? Is completely, or is she being controlled to do so? Like at the end when she's going to basically take Danny to kill her. Because they say, kill her. She kind of tells Danny, it's like, hey, here's what's going on. I'm going to put you on this machine and I'm going to kill you. Like, why are you telling her you're going to kill her? And that didn't work out to her. She got eaten by a bear.
Eaten by a bear.
That was one mean, ugly bear. It was a hairy bear. It was a scary bear. I'm doing Schoolhouse Rock for Tim Curtis. He's the only one who gets that one. All right. So I'm looking at these other questions, and they all are basically the same thing. That's all the Easter eggs that I can really... I mean, there is... you know what? I've talked enough about the comics. This movie made approximately... How much money do you think this thing made at the box office? Not that the box office matters, but this is a weird year.
$25 million.
This film made domestically $23.8 million, but worldwide, this thing made almost $47 million.
Hey, for this year, good guess. That was pretty good.
No, for this year, that's actually pretty good. I mean, in a normal year, this film probably would have made $118. You know, it would have been a considered failure. But you know what? They got some money out of this. I mean, even though we had commercials all of 2 years ago, it was... It's a crazy time, folks. It's a crazy time. So, would you recommend people to go see this film?
I want to point this out. So, I found out what I was looking for because I wanted to make sure I got this. According to Josh Boone, the film was originally set during the events of X-Men Apocalypse and would feature a cameo by Professor X and Storm.
I do remember hearing that.
But the script was rewritten to remove those elements. But he kept it. He wanted to keep the setting in the 80s. So, it takes place in the 80s.
Would you recommend this film?
No. There's in the history of cinema, there are way better films to be watching than this film.
Would you compare this film in the X-Men franchise of so many films? There's quite a few films. Where does this one sit? Is this the worst one? Is this one worse than the original X3?
No, I mean no. The worst one is Wolverine Origins.
Okay,
that movie's terrible.
Compare this to Dark Phoenix.
I wanna. The reason why those get a little bit higher on me, the X-Men 3 and Dark Phoenix, is because we're seeing characters we've already seen in better movies, in good movies. So it's a continuation of those characters, be it good or bad.
Like Highlander 2?
Yeah, I mean, well, you've spent much more time with the X-Men characters in X-Men 1 and 2 to see X3, and then obviously Days of Future Past and Deadpool. Those movies... have a better so I don't this one is if you never see it doesn't change any doesn't change
it's a
anything.
Standalone it's a standalone
and that's a shame because it had they thrown
well,
in
Deadpool's
some,
a standalone too
yeah Deadpool's awesome if they were throwing more connections in it might have been more of a must-see film but right now it's you don't see it you don't lose anything I wish like I said it should have been better. It should have been a better film, and they messed up. And if it had been connected to a larger universe more substantially, then...
But the universe is a mess, as we've talked about.
Oh,
that's
it
the
is,
problem.
But there, it's a mess with some great movies in it.
It
some
is.
Some great movies in it. Days of Future Past. You love First Class more
First
than
Class,
anything.
Days of Future Past,
Deadpool,
yes.
X-Men 1 and 2. Great films.
I enjoyed The
you
Wolverine.
You like The Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
Logan is good. There's a lot of good movies and a mess of bad... and.
Oh, there's
movies.
Some good stuff in Dark Phoenix too. I mean, you know, the movie's a mess,
good
but
stuff
like
in
the fight.
Too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yes. Absolutely. And then there's a mess in there too. So we kind of wanted to talk about it because well, we're done talking about it, and now we're not going to talk about it anymore. The X-Men time is done. The only way they're going to cross over is if Marvel decided to have some sort of multiverse of madness or something where all these characters could show up.
Well,
and they spend
might,
a lot of money.
And see. You might see Deadpool. For these characters.
Oh, we'll
though.
See Deadpool. Yeah, but I'm saying anything from this universe. You know, the Hugh Jackman showing up somewhere. I think Disney's going to say, you know what? If we're not going to spend the money to bring back Robert Downey Jr., why would we do this? Let's just restart with Wolverine. So if they're going to bring back anything from this, I say bring back Ilyana. And if they prove through these new Spider-Man movies and WandaVision, everything, that they can pull people from multiverse, I say bring back Ilyana. This is a great representation of that character. Hey, man, you had Judi Dench play two different M's for two different Bonds, and nobody blinked an eye. So same here.
I mean, again, if these characters showed up in another X-Men movie and are used properly and all that, I'm all for it. I'm totally fine with that. And and this being a smaller movie, and I know this is more of a me thing, like Pitch Black is not a great film. I really like Chronicles of Riddick, and it's selfishly so. So, you know, you can have a small film that you don't really care about, but it makes the origins of characters for a better film.
I thought that was a sequel to the Chronicles of Narnia. Wow, that changes everything. Now
oh,
about that. Holy
boo.
Cow.
Boo earns. That was no
the
good.
Chronic what of Riddick?
All right. No, thank you.
I don't know. You and your Riddick movies. Not that good. Not good. They made seven of those, you know.
they made three movies, and then they made an animated movie.
No, they've crossed that over into the Fast and the Furious movie. He's playing the same character. What do you think he can do that crazy stuff?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right.
Then Triple X comes in, and not that Triple X.
The Return of Xander something?
Nude.
What?
Triple X, right?
Oh, okay. I see what you did there. Is this the Back to the Nude Mutants? Is that what you're
nude
doing?
Nude Mutants.
All right. Well, you'll know you've gone too far if we do come out with a podcast for that. I would bail and run for the hills because this is not the podcast for you. But if this is the podcast for you, please continue to listen as we continue going forward with our thoughts on these movies and the TV series. And coming up next will be WandaVision, which is about a little over a week away. We're going to be watching that. I heard the first episode.
Maybe two episodes. Oh, my God.
So, and maybe two episodes, too, for the first one. And there's a total of 9 episodes, I believe. I'm very excited for that, and hopefully you are, too. If you are excited and like enjoy this podcast, please go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/BennettBrothersPodcast.
Yeah. That's where our Patreon's at with our mini-cast that we have over there, exclusive to patrons. So go take a look at that. Facebook.com/BennettBrothersPodcast. That gets all the news we like to share, too, about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the DC Cinematic Universe, Star Wars, all the stuff that we find very interesting that you might not normally see on other places. We post up there on our Facebook, so you can be the first people to get the news. So go there and check that out. Tweet us at BennettBrosPod and send an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Oh, also, go to those sites we just talked about or our email. That'd be great, too. And, you know, that thing's got dust on it. But go there and let us know what you thought of the New Mutants, please. If it's as simple as going to the Facebook page, do that. Or our WordPress page. We're very interested to see what you guys thought of the New Mutants. Let us know. And until that time and afterwards, I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.